Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. A fish story now. Ken DeBozard, director of the Office of the Great Lakes for the state of Michigan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So I'm out on a boat, right? I'm out on one of the Great Lakes. I'm fishing for steelhead, right? And I hook into something really huge, right? And I'm starting to reel it in. And about a foot from the surface, I realize I've got a big carp. How depressed am I?
Well, let's hope it's just a bad dream. And we're hoping that we can still take actions to prevent that from occurring. But the fear of Asian carp entering the Great Lakes is something that has become more real based on testing that became known last week.
And explain exactly what the tests showed and what's the difference between an Asian carp from any other kind of fish as far as Great Lakes sports fishermen and others in the ecosystem are concerned.
Well, last week there was some new DNA testing that was conducted that showed that there was the presence, at least DNA evidence, of the carp past the point that we had expected and past the point of an electrical barrier that was installed, a $9 million barrier that was put in place to prevent the carp from actually getting through the sanitary ship canal in Chicago into the Great Lakes.
And Ken, this is like an electric fence underwater, right?
That's right. It's been put in place. There's one array that's in place now, and we had plans to put some additional protections in place there. This new evidence indicates that in some way that this DNA evidence is past that point of that barrier. And the carp are considerably of concern because as they have demonstrated throughout the Mississippi system where they have entered and have moved their way north, they tend to outcompete the native fisheries and largely dominate those areas where they have come into contact. And so our Great Lakes fishery, a $4.5 billion fishery, is at risk.
Well, Ken, listen to this, will you, and tell me what's going on here. This is some sound that we got from the Illinois River. Listen to this and see if you can identify what's going on here.
Dear Lord.
Now, well, I'm afraid that's it sounds like the sound of the flying version variety of species of the Asian carp. The carp can grow up to 4 feet in length and up to 100 pounds, but some of the species are smaller, and when startled by noise like the engine noise of the boats that I think we just heard, can fly up to 6-7 feet in the air and have created some human impacts as well, creating some threats to the public safety from boaters.
I mean, I'm thinking I'm like a bass or something, smallmouth bass down in the water in the Great Lakes, and I'm looking at these flying Asian carp, and I'm going, man, I don't have a chance here.
Well, it is an unfortunate fact that in areas where they have come through the Mississippi that they have crowded out all the other native fisheries. In fact, they can consume their body weight on a daily basis. They were brought in the south to inland ponds to consume the algae, did a good job of that, but unfortunately when flooding occurred, they entered the Mississippi and have worked their way north. So this human introduction, one of the many ways that we have seen up to the 180 invasive species that have entered the Great Lakes from a variety of vectors.
And Ken DeBozard is the head of the Office of the Great Lakes for Michigan and is leading the fight to contain and eliminate the non-native carp, the Asian species. Ken, thanks so much.
Thank you.